Romans 8. Well, we started out the year looking at doing more for Christ and how we can do more for Him and through Him. And a wonderful, wonderful depiction we saw in John 15 about the vine and the branches. Now we're moving ahead. Last week looking at, we ask more, we receive more. More asking, more answers. Today we're going to see more victory. More victory. You and I can be victorious in the Christian life, and we know that. Now, Romans 8, let's look at this. For sake of time, let's go all the way down to verse 31. Verse 31. What shall we say then say to these things? If God be for us, underline that, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more, there it is, more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, as we look at this morning, Paul clearly lays out for us, we can be victorious in the life in which we live right now. You know, there's a lot of defeated Christians out there. I'm defeated so often. Defeated. You go through something, you get defeated. By the way, stop getting so hard and being so hard on yourself. Verse 1 of chapter 8 says, what? There is therefore now no condemnation. That condemnation he's talking about is from God. But you know, we're so hard on ourselves, aren't we, sometimes? We mess up, we foul up, we trip up. We get hard on ourselves. That's okay. Now, if you're living in a state of sinful behavior, then yes, you know that. There's confession that needs to be made. There's repentance that needs to be taken into action. But we can live in a defeated state of being if we're not careful too much of the time. Now, the Bible lays out for us clearly, and boy, I like this. Okay. Yeah. Do you mind if I do this? No, I shouldn't do that. All right. It's not too hollow either, is it? Not too bad. We'll get something on this here. But the Bible says what? We can live the victorious Christian life. You know that. Now on Wednesday nights, and I want to encourage you to come back on Wednesday evenings at 6. I'm putting my little plug in there, okay? Come back. We're looking at, what are we looking at on Wednesdays? Oh, yeah. The perfection. Be ye perfect, right? The pursuit of perfection. Now people say, you look at that in the Bible says to be perfect. Jesus said, be perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's an impossibility. We're not perfect. We've been looking at that. And it comes back to that he's talking about being complete in Christ, and it goes back to that we have all that we need in Him to be perfect and to be right with Him. A lot of people don't serve the Lord because they say it's impossible. Or they say we don't have all the tools or necessary things I need to serve Him. Now we're going to look at this later. In 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about we have the victory, present tense victory in Him. We think through this and understand it. The victory that's possible for you and for me. Let me say, first of all, as we jump into this, he says in verse 31, what shall we say then say to these things if God be for us? Again, let me just remind you, God is for you. Is that an amazing thing? One of the most amazing concepts, I should say realities, excuse me, is that God is for you. People think God's against me. Well, God's mad at me. I talked to a fellow a while back, and he said, God's mad at me. He's so mad at me. He doesn't like me. That's not true. He loves us unconditionally, and he's proud of us, and he loves us as a father does a child, but he's for you. So if you constantly hit these closed doors and these brick walls and you stumble over these steps and over these stumbling stones, who's at fault? Well, it's me, isn't it? It's me. There are things that are against us today, and we must understand that if he is for us, that means there is something against us. He is for us. There are things and people against us. Let me remind you, the world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly against us. The world around us trying to draw us away from God. The world around us is constantly trying to defeat us. The flesh, if you haven't noticed lately, tries to defeat you daily, doesn't it? This old flesh, one day we'll be gone, we'll have our new bodies, we'll be with the Lord for all of eternity. But while we're here, we have to deal with the flesh, right? the victory that is possible. There was a sign put out back during World War II, and it was obviously a funny sign, but it said, "Ladies, marry a military man and a veteran." And then under it said, "He already knows how to make his bed, he knows how to clean, he knows how to do dishes, and he's already used to taking orders from a drill sergeant." Okay, just kidding. You think about that. The victory. Winston Churchill, he's made the statement, as you recall back. He said, "We'll fight on the beaches, we'll fight on the land, we'll fight in the streets, we'll fight house to house." And the little boy spoke up and said, "Daddy, that sounds like our family vacation." Oh, fighting all the time. There's victory, though, in the Christian life. I hope you find that. First of all, stop defeating yourself is a good point for me. Too many times I defeat myself. There's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life John talks about. And those things can defeat us if we allow it. We live in a habitual state of defeat. He's for us. There are things against us. We must know that. We know the adversary is against us. There's a word here used repeatedly, and it's WHO. It's who. It's usually a who. Now, that could be you. The Old Testament prophet makes a statement and he says, "Your sins have withheld good things from you." Your sins. He's talking individually, me. It withholds things. So that could be me. I could be defeating myself, but there's also people around us that can defeat us. People around us that hold us back from serving God like we should. There's people that bring out the worst in you. Isn't there? There's people that bring out the absolute worst. There's also people bring out the best in you. And I encourage you to get around. You may live with that person. I don't know. No. You get around the person that encourages you. Get around the person that draws you closer to the Lord. You ought to be that kind of a person. Paul was saved miraculously. His name was Saul. It was later changed to Paul. You know that. And he immediately, the Bible says, after those scales fell from his eyes and he began to saturate himself in the Word and get to know the Lord better and all those things, he immediately went into the temple and began to preach. And the people there said, "He's just infiltrating. He's undercover. He wants to destroy our church. He wants to divide our church, doesn't he?" They all rejected Paul except for one fellow that came and put his arm around Paul and said, "Paul, I believe you. No matter what they say, I believe you." Old Barnabas. Barnabas said, "I believe you." And we ought to be like that. There's people against us, but there's some for us. And if nobody is for you, that's okay. Look what he says. He's for us. He's for us. That's all you need. That's all you need. I don't know what you're going through today, but you may be going through a very difficult season in your life. We've had the death of some loved ones. We know that. There's other people dealing with disease and cancers and problems, and I know that. And you think about that old adversary likes to get in our ear and start to tell us what? "You're not good enough. Oh, you watched that again. Oh, you said that again. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that." Oh, what's he do? Condemn us. There's forgiveness in Christ. And we go to Christ and we try to do better. We have victory in him. But listen, he's for us. He's for you. He desires in your life to be successful. He told Joshua that, didn't he? He said, "Tell the people that the only way they'll have good success is if they what? Follow my book." They follow the Word of God. You'll find good success and you'll realize there's victory when you spend time in the Word. Let me say that there's people. Galatians 1, really Galatians 1 throughout the Bible. But Paul makes a statement and he says what? "Ye did run well. Who hindered you?" Who hindered you? Who stopped your progress? Was it you yourself? It could have been. Was it somebody around you? I want to encourage you to go back to that place of what hindered you, what stopped you, and rectify that and say, "I'm not going to allow that anymore in my life." Notice also, though, he says he spared not. Verse 32. If he's for us, one, but also he spared not. He spared not. Now, that's called the unconditional and unfathomable love of God. He spared not. There was no expense. There was nothing too high. He spared not. He spent all of it for you and for me. And then he clarifies, he delivered him up for us all. Do you realize everything Jesus does is for us? The cross wasn't for him. It was for us. It's for us. Everything God does is for us. He is for us, but everything he does is for us. Does that make sense? He's for us. He delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God doesn't want to bless my life. That's not true. God doesn't care. An elderly lady once told me that. God couldn't love me. I've done too much wrong. God doesn't love me. I said, that's not true. That's not true. What it is what Jesus spoke about in John chapter 3. That the light has been shone down on us. But what? Men reject the light. They love darkness rather than light. See, that's the condemnation. We've rejected the truth. It's available for all. And it's for all of us. He spared not. Do you realize what he's done for you? He spared not. There was nothing that he kept back. He went all the way to the cross. He did all of it for us. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected of his own brothers. He was rejected of his own family. The Bible says, the prophet of Isaiah, in particular, chapter 53, he says he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You know what that means, acquainted with grief? It was his friend. He was so acquainted and so accustomed with grief and heartache and difficulty and uphill battles in his life, he just got real used to it. His entire life was an uphill battle. If you go back and study the life of Christ, as we just have in our Bible Institute, it was a very difficult life. When he was born not in a rolled out red carpet, plush hotel, fourth floor. It was in a barn, a cold, smelly barn. In fact, he got a little bit older. What happened? Well, the king sent out and murdered every baby in Bethlehem. It says Rachel was weeping for her children. That moaning and groaning of a mother that lost a baby. Tried to destroy Jesus. Not only that they constantly were against him. They were constantly against who he was. And we know that later as he became and came into his full, into adulthood and then into his full-time ministry. We saw all that they came at him. But he did all of that for you and for me. He spared not. My friends, understand something, that God desires the very best for you. He has your best interests in mind with everything in your life, even the difficult things. I know that's hard to understand. I don't understand it either. But he really does. What God ordains or permits. There's certain things that God ordains in your life, but there's also things that he permits into your life. He does all of that for our benefit, for his glory, for my good. Notice next, he justifies. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He justifies. He is the one, again, who is in control. He is the ultimate judge. He is the one. That justification is a judicial term, right? You know that. It has to do with that. And one day, as I said this a while back, but again, I said it to an individual, trying to encourage him to study his Bible, trying to encourage him really to get saved. But I said, sir, there's coming a day when you're going to stand before the judge, capital J judge, and you'll answer for this life. And he will not judge you according to your ways and your understanding and your intellect. He'll judge you straight out of this book. That's what the Bible says. He is the judge. And if he has rules, then you better find out what they are and do them. If he has things that he likes and things that he dislikes, you better find out what he wants and do them. That's what every person in the Bible did. Every person. Elijah said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he showed him. He said, okay. It was difficult. Go to the king, the most wicked king, and tell him, point your bony finger in his face and said, God's against you. That king would later find Elijah on the street, and he'd say, it's you that's troubled Israel. And he turned around. I liked Elijah. He had a little bit of a toughness to him, but he pointed his finger back and said, not me, it's you. You and your fathers have troubled Israel. Your sins. Moses stood in front of the people. He didn't want to, but he did it anyways. Why? Because he knew God was in control. He wanted to please him. Paul would later say to the church at Philippi, that I may please him, that I may know him, that I may know more of him. Not only does he justify, and you must understand, and again, I say this very clearly because I need it mostly. Who do you please? Who is it that you're seeking to please? The judge? The justifier? or the people around you. I'm a people pleaser. I have to be careful. I want to make sure everybody likes me. Make sure everybody, okay. No. There's some things we have to do that we don't want to do. There's some things we have to do. Let me say also, though, he's the intercessor, verse 34. There's another who. Who is he that condemneth? By the way, people will condemn you. They will. They're going to put you down and make you feel bad. Even Brother Tim will say things that you go, ooh, why do you have to say that? There's people that will condemn you. Notice, but it's Christ that died. What is he saying? You answer to him. He's the one that died. He's the one that paid the price. Yea, rather, is risen again. There's the justification. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's making intercession for us. The word intercede, the go-between, the propitiation, the advocate. These are terms used in the Bible. That he demonstrated his love for us. He intercedes on your behalf. And he's working constantly on your behalf. And you don't realize today what the demonic spirits and the demons around us that are seeking constantly to thwart your plans. Some of you work in the public with people or law enforcement or first responders. You see the evil of people. There are things working around us right now trying to thwart our plans and trying to destroy us. God or Jesus Christ is interceding on our behalf. I don't need to remind you, but I will anyways. This adversary, the devil, and his workers, his demons, his imps, his gnomes, his gargoyles, all those things, they are against you. He hates that you're in church today. He hates you're trying to do right in your marriage. He hates your children. And if he could, he'd take your life. But Jesus won't let him. Satan came, or God called Satan. He said, what you been doing? I've been going to and fro, up and down in the earth, blah, 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 blah. Do you consider Job? You thought about Job? What did Satan want? Satan said, give me his life. Let me take his life. He says, you can't have it. You can have everything else. You can't have his life. Satan wants to kill you. We know that. He wants to take you off this earth so you shut your mouth and stop witnessing for Christ. So you stop sharing the gospel. So you stop living a holy lifestyle. People say, I told you so. I'm saying today that he's interceding on our behalf. He's there for us, and he's for you, and he wants to see you succeed. And by the way, we don't serve a God, we serve the God. We serve Jesus Christ, who is in authority and power over all. And he says in Matthew 28, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I think, oh man, I need a hollow spot. I can stomp. I was going to get into it. All power is given unto me, right? Heaven and in earth. That's the God we serve. And you know, a lot of Christians walk around today defeated, head down, bottom lip sticking out, half asleep. They're defeated. Why? They don't know the God. They don't know the Jesus of the Bible. And Elijah, again, I reference him, but on that Mount Carmel, after the fire falls from heaven, the people cry out and say, the Lord, he is the God. Not the Lord, he is a God. The Lord, he is the God, T-H-E, God. My friends, that's the God we serve. And the almighty, all-powerful God who's in control of everything and of every spirit and everything in this world and the world to come and every part of the universe is for you as an individual. Nobody on the backside of the mountain in a sparse little state like ours. Right? We're nobody. You're a little speck on the timeline of life. We're nobody. But to God, you're somebody. You're somebody enough that he spared not. Listen, I'll die for those people, but I'm not dying for Tim. I'll die for them, but they can't pull it together. They keep sinning. Their marriage keep having trouble. Their kids keep messing up. They can't pull it together. I'm not dying for them. No, it's not what he said, is it? He spared not. He died for all. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's he. Who is he that condemneth? He makes intercession, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? That's stress. Shall persecution? Famine? Nakedness? That's being destitute. Peril? Sword? Death? The worst, Jesus said, the worst a man can do to you is kill you. He can take your life. That's the worst he can do. Now, we don't want that. Heaven forbid if any of us are murdered. We know, but What's he say then? Don't fear the man who can take your life. Fear him who can not only take your life, but has the power to cast your soul into hell. He says, fear him. Fear him. He's the one. Now, I'm talking about today getting more victory. I want more victory. I don't want to live in a habitual state of defeat. I want the victory that God gives to me. Well, we must understand that he's for us. We must understand that he spared not. We must understand that he's the justifier. He's the intercessor. And then here, he loves us. He loves us. Verse 36, that is, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now he's referencing back to an Old Testament verse. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor any angels or principalities or powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think he covered all the bases, didn't he? He covered every part of it. There is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Now, Paul emphasized this to the Romans. If you study this, you know they had so many gods that they served. And their fear constant and what would later become a paganism and a Christianized society mixed and melted together, which ultimately became Catholicism. What they believed in these gods they worshipped was that you had to be very careful and walk on your tiptoes and on eggshells not to upset the God, that he would then condemn you and remove all of his love from you. And Paul says, do you know something? We serve the God. That if you know him as your personal Savior, you're one of his children, nothing in this world, nothing in the physical world and nothing in the spiritual realm around us, nothing can separate us from the love. There's religions today that believe you can lose that. You can be separated. You can do something so bad that God would remove his love from you. Not according to Romans 8. The victory comes from knowing that he loves us unconditionally. Yeah, you'll mess up. Yeah, you fouled up last week. I know. So did I. You said some things you shouldn't have. There's things you did you shouldn't have done. There's things that you should have done that you didn't do. Doesn't mean that we got to be condemned. We come to Christ according to 1 John and he says what? We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, this baptismal tank doesn't cleanse your sins. Doesn't. Yeah, Brother Adam, get on. I forgot to show this to our people online. That doesn't cleanse us from our sins, does it? No. Some religions believe that. What is it? Jesus already did that. He paid the price on the cross. And for the first time in all of eternity past, Jesus cried out and said, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the world went dark. For the first time in all of eternity, God, the Father, and the Son were separated. Why? Because he had to pour out all of his wrath upon that holy, precious man. Your sins and mine, past, present, and future sins were all poured out upon Jesus Christ. So that now you and I, when we come before Christ, we don't offer our gifts to him that are so pathetic and measly. Say, Lord, I've got $100,000. Lord, I've got a nice fancy house. Lord, I've got all these things you want. He says, that doesn't impress me. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold in every mine. And Paul says, why don't you just present your body a living sacrifice? Say, Lord, this is all I've got. I don't have a lot of education, or I'm not very intellectual. I don't have all these things the world looks at. And God says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Lord, I'm past my prime. I'm in my silver years. I'm in my golden years now. That's exactly what I'm looking for. God's been preparing you for the last 70 years or 65 years for this day right now. I like that. He's been preparing us. And he says, as I took all of that wrath upon the cross, you and I can now have an open relationship. And he says in Hebrews very clearly, chapter 4, let us now what? Boldly approach the throne. That's a bold approach. You could puff your chest up a little bit. What are you doing? I'm approaching the throne of grace. Why? Because Jesus Christ opened the door. And when he died on that cross and he hung his head down, and the Bible says he gave up the ghost, immediately what happened? The veil rent from top to bottom. When once inside that veil, only the high priest could go in, it was limited. That veil rent in twain is a great picture for us to say what? Now I have open access to Jesus Christ. Are you taking advantage of that relationship? It's sad to me that many people call themselves Christians, but they do very little for Christ. They call themselves a believer, but you couldn't tell by the way they talk. You couldn't tell by the way they live. You couldn't tell by the way they carry themselves. You couldn't tell by their priorities and their agenda, your little notepad in your truck, your little list of things to do. You couldn't tell that. No. My friends, coming back to this victory. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to close out here. 1 Corinthians 15, thank you for listening so well today. I appreciate your faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 15. Now notice what he says. 1 Corinthians 15, I apologize. Let's go down to verse 55, all the way down to verse 55. Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Present tense, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's the victory for us. Paul points out to us that death has a sting. Death has a sting. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of going in and conducting a funeral service for a dear lady. I believe there was well over 100 and, had to be about 100, 150 people, I'm not sure. And I stood up there, they didn't know me from Adam, they didn't know who I was. And I stood up there and I didn't know the lady, but I tried to tell them about the love of God. I said, my friends, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you need to make sure of that because one day you want to be with her. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I said, she's right now with the Lord. She's got no more pain, no more tears, no more dementia. You want to be with her, you better make sure of that. And you know, of course, some didn't like that. I could tell. Mumbled, grumbled, whispered to each other. What do you think about? Oh, death, where's thy sting? It stings. It's like getting stung by a bee. Been stung by a wasp or a bee before? Man, that's painful. That don't kill you unless you get an allergic reaction or something. Usually it doesn't kill you, but it hurts. And death hurts. And my friends, one day if you'd give me the privilege and allow me to have your casket right here in the front, we're all going to die. You'll be right here. And if I go first, then one of you please say something nice about me. But it stings. It doesn't feel good. But it doesn't kill us. The Bible's very clear. If you're born once physically, all of us have been born. I think you're real. Been born once, you'll die twice. You'll die once physically, but then you'll die a spiritual death. But if you're born twice, Jesus said in John 3, you're born once physically, but you're born again spiritually in this earth. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. Well, what happens? You only die once. You die a physical death. But you have eternal life in Him. That's wonderful, isn't it? There's a sting of death. Grave, where's thy victory? You lower that loved one down into that cold, hard earth. Oh, that's hard to watch. And especially when they play that taps. They're a veteran. Man, that gets to me. That gets to me. That cold, dark earth. There is victory for many people, not for us. But thanks be to God. He giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know the victory is possible. Victory enables us, he says, therefore, in verse 58, therefore, you must, when you see that word, you look what it's there for. It points back to what it said previously. Okay? It says, wherefore, therefore, it's pointing back to the preceding verse. Therefore, because of the victory, because there's no sting in death, because there's no victory in the grave, therefore, my beloved brethren, that's you and that's me, he's talking to Christians, be ye steadfast. Well, you know what that means, steadfast. You're steadfast. You're focused. You're going down. You don't distract me over here. I'm not interested over there. I'm not interested in those things. I'm focused on Christ. Steadfast. You're keeping moving. Unmovable. Well, that means unmovable. So many things in my life I'm so amazed at that get me off balance. Unmovable. They get me shaky. Shouldn't. And then he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In the work of the Lord. Notice that. I do not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done, but now I can work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. We work for Him. Notice what he says, abounding in the work of the Lord. You abound and I abound to make money. You'll work tirelessly. You'll stay up so late. You'll get up so early. You'll do anything you can make a little bit more money. What about abounding in the work of the Lord? By the way, all of you have offered your help. Every one of you in here, I look around. Hey, can I help? What can I do? What can I do? As soon as we walk in the door, most of you, what can I do? Can I put flags out? Can I get the flag up? Can I help out? Can I come and offer my services? Every one of you in here, thank you, by the way. Thank you. You're always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay, I'll close it out here. For ye know, notice this, ye know, there's a head knowledge, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me remind you, everything you do for the Lord, it's written down. I think you know this, but God has a very good memory. He takes note of everything you do, both good and bad, and will be judged for those things. But He makes note of it. Well, Lord, God ever put you on your heart just randomly to pray for the church? Or to pray for Brother Tim, or to pray for someone in the church? Or pray? Ever do that? Don't ever scoff at that. Please, I need your prayers. Please. I need them. The church needs your prayers. Just stop a minute. Whatever you're doing. It doesn't have to be long. It could be 3 seconds. Lord, please be with the church. And I don't know what's going on. Lord, please be with them. He does that to me all the time. There's a couple of you in here I've been praying for specifically. You're in trouble. And praying for you. Just put on my heart all of a sudden. I said, oh, Lord, be with them and help. I don't know what they're doing or going through, Lord. Something may be going through right now. I don't know. Help them. Pray for them. Everything you do for the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Remember the golden rule that we looked at last week? Do unto others as you'd want done unto yourself. Well, do unto God what you would want God to do to you. Would you want God to bless? Yeah. Oh, you could come help. You could do this or that. Now, I'll close out with this. You have the victory. You have everything you need to be victorious. Again, let me remind you, don't condemn yourself. It's sinful. It's wrong. Then yes, you know that. Get it right. Confess it. Do that. But listen, don't condemn yourself. Don't let that happen. Because what happens is you begin to become very defeated. Well, I would serve God, but I know I'm going to screw that up. Pardon my French. I'm going to mess that up. Don't do that. I have the victory in Christ. I can live for Him. I can go forward. I can be successful. We can rectify this problem in this relationship. We can fix this issue here. I can go forward and be victorious. Yeah, but remember what happened last time? Remember what you did? There's that who. You did run well. Who hindered you? They brought up your past. We got to fix some things personally, but we go forward. And we say, I can keep going. I can serve Him. I'm aware of the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm aware of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But I have the victory. It's already been done, and I'm a part of God. I hope you're on the winning side today. One day very soon, we're going to be with the Lord, and I say this often. Are you prepared for that day? But after a while, Satan's going to do his little thing on earth, and he's going to raise up someone called the Antichrist and the Beast and others, these characters, and they're going to attempt to rule the world. And then God, all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself will descend, as He said in Acts 1, as ye see Him go up in like manner, He'll come again. He'll come down and put His feet right down on this soil that He created, and He'll take ownership again of this world. And Satan and all his forces, every army will come together and converge and try and take Jesus Christ. And Jesus, with just His very words, are going to blow these people to smithereens. We serve the all-powerful God. I want to remind you of that. And if He says to me, you can have victory, I've already given it to you, then I can live in that. He told Joshua to go and cross that Jordan. And Joshua said, okay, Lord, but they've got a lot of good weaponry, fortified city, thick walls in which, and He says, I know that. Do you want us to take all that we have? No. I want you to go in there, limited people, limited numbers, and I want you to march around the city. Now, militarily, that's suicide because you know why the walls were there. They just stand on the top of the wall and shoot you right through the top of the head. And Joshua scratched his head and said, Lord, Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. But Lord, I don't. You ever been there before? It says, I want you to go and give a track to that person. And you go, Lord, I would, but Lord, I know a little bit more than you. And I don't think, I always, oh, I feel so bad. I want you to keep going to church. Ah, Lord, we're not used to doing that. I don't know. And he told them to go, and they marched around the city. What happened? They had no weapons. They had a stinking trumpet, didn't they? Absolute foolishness. And you know what the world's going to tell you today? You're foolish. Oh, I have the victory in Christ. I'm victorious. I'll have the victorious Christ. No, you're not. They're going to tell you you're a fool. But we do what God tells us to do. And I want to tell you this by way of closing. I said that about three times. But he says we have all that we need. We're victorious. You follow this book. You do what you're supposed to do. This book will never let you down. It'll never let you down. You come to a hard passage in this Bible, you don't understand it, you seem like it's a contradiction, you're kind of confused. Know this, you're wrong and the Bible's right, every time. If you settle that in your heart right now, you'll become victorious. I'm wrong, something's wrong, I don't get it, something's wrong up here, I don't understand it. I read in the Old Testament, it seems like a contradiction. Okay, study it for yourself. Keep studying. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you study the Bible. You'll understand. The victory comes through Him. Through Him. Do you feel victorious today or do you feel defeated? If you're like me, I feel defeated. I do. It's hard. It's difficult. But you do what this book says and you understand and know this, that God is for you. He's not against you. He's for you. If He's for you, He'll plan and prepare and pave the way for you. He'll help you do what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed, not what you want to do, what you're supposed to do. God guaranteed that. I'll help you and I'll empower you to do what you're supposed to do. He's for us. Know that He spared not. If He spared not, then you know that. He'll do what you're supposed to do. He'll help you do what you're supposed to do. He justifies, He intercedes, and He loves you. He loves you. Nobody's ever loved you like Jesus has. I know that's cliche, but nobody's ever loved you like Jesus. Your spouse could never love you like Jesus loved you. Nobody on this, your mommy, your daddy, nobody could ever love you like Jesus loved you. And that's a comfort to me when I now have children to know that one day I'll be gone and I know that nobody could ever love them like Jesus loved them. I could try my dead level best. I fail a lot. But Jesus loves them. He loves you. Do you know Him today as your personal Savior? Have you made that sure? Have you made that sure today? I must stop there. Lord, let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your grace today and allowing us to come before You and to be in Your Word today. I thank You so much for these people, every one of them. I say that sincerely. Every one of them have come to Me and offered their assistance. Every one of them have asked how they can help and what they can do. Every person, even from the children have even offered. And I thank You. That's the mark of the Holy Spirit within our church. The Bible says very clearly that the Holy Spirit brings unity. There's the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's a mark of the Spirit in our church. None of us are perfect. We all fail. We all sin. We all mess up. But God strengthen us to get past that condemnation, to live for You, to be victorious in Your promises and in Your Word. We love You. We thank You, Lord, again. In Thy holy name, we pray these things and thank You. Amen.